Avos Perkei, Mishnah Tes Zayin, 5:16, some Mishnayos is 5:19. Now we're getting to the end of the fifth parak and the end of Mishnayos Avos here, and we've finished the tens, the sevens, and the fours. You could think of the next couple of Mishnayos as the twos, as there are two types of these things, but the Mishnah doesn't say it in that way. The Mishnah here simply says, Kol avashi taluya badavar, any love which is dependent on something, batel davar bat la'ava. When that thing goes, the love also goes. V'she'ena taluya badavar, a love that isn't dependent upon something else, eina batela olam, it will never be annulled. And he gives examples. Ezi ava she'ena taluya badavar, what is a love that is dependent upon something? Zu avas amnon v'tamar, that was the love of Amnon and Tamar, we'll explain shortly. V'she'ena taluya badavar, and the love which isn't dependent on something else, Zu avas David v'yohonasan, the love of David and Jonathan. Okay, we'll explain that as well shortly. Bez Hashem. So, the first thing is that the way that the Bar Tanura himself parses this Mishnah, and according to the Tosafot Yom Tov, he actually had a slightly different gears of the Mishnah, was that the word batel appears twice. So in other words, it reads, either reads or should be explained as, Kol avashli tuliya bedavar batel. Any love which is dependent upon a temporary, fleeting thing. So then, batel davar, batel ava. When that thing goes, then the love also goes. So according to the Bar Tanura, that's how to read it. According to the Tosafot Yom Tov, it's because he had the word batel twice. The Rambam explains the Mishnah the very same way. It doesn't seem that the Rambam actually had such a girsa, and I looked around, I don't see any versions that I could find suggest that girsa exists of saying the word batel twice. So what's happening here, according to the Rambam, it would seem, and the Bar Tanura is following that tack, or maybe has different gears altogether, is that the word batel has two meanings, and it's like a double entendre. He's basically explaining both meanings. So batel can mean like a thing which is temporary, and batel can mean to be annulled. Okay, so it's bedavar batel, a thing which is temporary and wastes away quickly. It's ephemeral. That thing is batel davar, when that thing becomes annulled and goes away. So then, batela ahava, the love also goes away. So I think the reason why the Rambam is learning this that way, and the Bar Tanura follows in his wake, is because it's hard to understand what it would mean to have a love that doesn't depend on anything at all. Okay? So therefore, according to the way that the Rambam learns it explicitly, and the Bar Tanura as well, the idea is, if you love someone else, it has to be for some reason. So the question is, what reason are we talking about? If the reason is because it's something that sort of gashmi of this world, you know, that's here today and gone tomorrow, so then that love is also a temporary love, which also will end up disappearing. Whereas if the love is based on which is sort of eternal, like a love of wisdom, a love for truth, the love for Hashem, and so on, so these kinds of loves, they don't, the thing in which they're predicated are not things that waste away over time, and therefore the love will persist and endure without end. So the example then would be, if you have the love of Amnon and Tamar. So first of all, although our Mishnah here says Amnon v'Tamar, Amnon and Tamar, other Gersos have Amnon b'Tamar, the love of Amnon towards Tamar, because Tamar didn't reciprocate that love. The story is, if you look in Shmuel, base over there, it says that David Melech had two children. They're from different mothers. Okay, one mother was Achinoam, and she had a son named Amnon. Another woman, Ma'acha, had a daughter named Tamar, and Amnon essentially lusted after Tamar and ended up raping her. Okay, and so before that terrible event occurred, he was crazy about Tamar, and afterwards, he despised her. He couldn't stand her. He was disgusted by her. Now, the Mishnah, therefore, is giving an illustration where the love that, quote-unquote love, that Amnon had for Tamar was really one based on lust. That's a temporary thing. And therefore, as soon as that lust disappeared, so then the love also disappeared. Although it's true that in the case of Amnon and Tamar, Amnon actually despised, resented Tamar afterwards. So then that doesn't mean to say that a love that's predicated on something else will end up meaning you'll despise the person. Just means that the love will not stick around. So if a person gets married for looks or for money, if the looks go away, if the money goes away, then the love will go away too. Not suggesting more than that. Now, I just should speak out here. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph, which discusses the technicalities of and some intricacies of Tamar and where she came from, and maybe that for whatever technical reasons, it's more complicated than I presented, but it doesn't matter. The point is the gist is the gist for our Mishnah. It's sufficient. You can look more over there if you want. Now, what's the that was the love of David and Yonasan, because again, David and Yonasan were besties from birth. David, well, the first king of Israel was Shaul, and his son was Yonasan. So really, the second king of Israel should have been Yonasan as well. Ultimately, David became the king instead of Shaul. Shaul lost his right to it, if you will. And, you might have thought then Yonasan and David would be enemies, but to the contrary, really, even in the conflicts between David and Shaul, Yonasan helps David, and they really were like best friends from beginning to end, and they're still going to support that as well. And it wasn't for anything in particular; it's because they loved one another for whatever milas that were sort of that were durable milas, durable advantages and benefits and characteristics that weren't the kind that you know are ephemeral that waste away over time. Now, all that said, and that's my preferred reading of the Mishnah here, like they have it, we don't have the word davar batel twice, and therefore there would be a simple separate reading, I think a more common reading, a simpler reading, which is that simply says, kol avashi taliba davar, if your love is predicated on anything, so then it's susceptible such that when that thing goes away, the love is lost, whereas love is dependent on nothing, so then it'll last forever. I don't think that the Rambam really like that, because I don't think the Rambam can understand how you could love someone for no reason whatsoever. But if you go with that girsa, so my approach to explain it would be as follows, that there is such a thing, you know, we talk about, if I ask you, like, why you love your kids, so a parent loves his children, and he'd be hard-pressed to give any specific reason why, right? It's not because of anything in specific. So there is such a thing as loving for no reason, just because the person is who they are. And that would be, then, the explanation of a mission over here. If you love someone for something they can do for you, then the love is temporary. If you love them for no reason whatsoever, then that love is, you know, will endure forever. The important Musar point here is twofold. The first is, many Mefarshim speak out that when you love someone for some particular reason, because of their money, what they can do for you, or their looks, whatever it is, so then really, you don't love them at all. Really, you love yourself. And just, you want to act in a self-serving way. This other person can do something for you, and therefore you are interested in them for what they can do for you, but your love is for yourself, and therefore, when they can no longer do that thing for you that you want, they can't provide what you wanted, so then you're not interested in them anymore. The love is gone, because it wasn't for them anyways, it's always a love for yourself. And that's a word of caution for all of us when we talk about, you know, people who we choose to love, our friends, our spouses, and the like. You really want to look for someone who the virtues which you love about them is for them, and not because of what they can do for you, per se, because that's not what love is. That's loving yourself, and that really is making a friendship or a marriage, etc., on a very precarious, unstable foundation. The other takeaway in terms of Musar here is that you can extrapolate this, of course, towards the ultimate love one should have, which is the love of Hashem. We love Hashem. It should be certainly for nothing other than the emes, the nature of emes, because Hashem is Hashem. And more than that, the love is supposed to be b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. That means with everything you got, even if it's going to cost you all your money, and even if it's going to cost you your life. So therefore, it's not what you're getting out of it. Rather, Hashem is Hashem. He's the source of all good. He's the source of your life. He's the source of all that's real. And you want to connect to Him and understand Him and a relationship with Him. So that's not dependent on what it can be for you. It definitely shouldn't be that way. And therefore, one can extrapolate from this Mishnah that his love for Hashem, he should work on it, so it isn't really dependent upon anything at all. Or, according to the Rambam, at least not dependent on anything that he gets in a gashmi, temporary, ephemeral sort of way.